Hey everyone, welcome to episode 45 of the Wheels to Walking Podcast, the podcast with a guy in a wheelchair and a guy not in a wheelchair. What up?
Wow.
We've
wow.
been in synchronization in all things. Even period related.
We just got off a plane from Houston.
I was going to say all things period related, but like... You're trying to, what?
Period related?
Yeah, like...
Like, well, we're girls and we're synced up on our periods?
No, like the 1600s, like that period. Like period related, you know?
Sure, I have no idea what you're talking about. But anyways, we are recording this fresh off of a flight from Houston. I haven't even gone home yet.
No. Nope.
We recorded two new videos this week.
And a podcast.
We were on another podcast.
We were guests on another podcast. And when that one comes out, we are definitely going to let you guys know about it on this podcast. And we're going to talk about it on the main channel too. So stay tuned. It's lit.
It is very, very lit. Dude, we have so much to talk about. It's not even funny. I don't even really know where to start.
Balloons.
Yes, balloons.
We got to start with balloons.
So today, David Blaine did his crazy stunt. AJ, did you see any of that? The whole like ascension thing?
I don't think I did.
So David Blaine did this crazy stunt today. It happened earlier, just a couple of hours ago, where he basically held on to imagine the poster for Up, but instead of a house, it's just David Blaine holding on to a pile of balloons.
It's a person he's just hanging on, just holding on.
And he literally went up to 25,000 feet. So like literally in class A airspace where jets fly.
Like where there's no oxygen and it's cold as shit.
And the kicker is the whole beginning part, he has no parachute and no oxygen until he reaches the class A airspace, and then he puts on the parachute and the oxygen. And it was absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it's the classic hold your breath David Blaine BS.
And he's like, he can see get that, his oxygen levels up. Like at the top of where he was, like the oxygen levels were like, or at the peak of where he was before he put on the actual oxygen tank, he was breathing like 50% oxygen. Like the air quality is like 50% of what it is on the ground.
That guy is, he's a magician, but he's also heavily inspired by Houdini. And Houdini used to do things that were real, but seemed fake because they were so insane. So David Blaine will be like, I'm going to stand on a block of ice for 7 days straight, or I'm going to bury myself alive, or I'm going to live inside of this box for a month. Like, he just does things that you're like, that's just not humanly possible. Like, it's got to be a trick, right? Like, it's got to be an illusion. It's like, it's not an illusion. It just seems like one because no normal human should be able to do this.
He's just an amazing performer. And I think the thing that got me on this one the most was... his daughter being like so involved because it's like on one hand
she's so cute and sweet and nice and encouraging and everything, but it's also like this could be the last time you're saying goodbye to your dad,
dude. Like
he could be dead.
Like, I teared up like a couple times. Like we were sitting in the terminal of the airport and I was watching it, and we were like boarding the plane like as like the whole thing is going down, and I'm like literally sitting in the airport like kind of like getting a little bit teary eyed because I'm just like, damn, dude. This girl, she's like, I don't know, like 10 or something.
She looks more like 11. Maybe 10.
She's mature enough to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And before he, you know, when he did all these stunts, she was so much younger. She, you know, she doesn't understand the gravity of it, or she wasn't even born, you know, for a lot of these things. But it's like now, and I think he talked about it on the Rogan podcast. But he was like, I think this is going to be my last like big dangerous one, just because he does have a daughter. And it's like, how fucking terrible would you feel, you know?
Well, I mean, think about like the Irwin family. Like Steve Irwin dies doing what he loves, and you know his wife and his kids are devastated, but they're carrying that legacy forward.
Well,
you know?
But Steve Irwin died from a stingray attack. It wasn't like he got attacked by a croc. Like, you know, he'd been around crocodiles and doing even crazier stuff than the stingray thing. I actually heard somewhere on a podcast recently that like the same week, an old guy got stung by a stingray and survived. And the reason why Steve Irwin died is because he ripped the barb out.
No, it hit him in the heart.
But he ripped it out.
Oh, yeah.
And so he bled out.
Well, anytime you get stabbed for any reason,
you should leave it in.
Just leave it. Yeah. You get a nail gun goes wrong. You get shot. You get a big fat splinter. You trip and fall on a knife. Don't pull it out. Leave it. Like, people automatically, like in movies, they get stabbed, they're like, ugh, and they rip out the knife.
Yeah, you're trying to be all manly.
And they just put a towel over it, and I'm like, you're gonna die. Like, put it back in there, actually. Like, why?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the whole thing about the stingray thing, it's like barbed, so when you pull it out, it rips it even worse than it goes in.
Kind of like a snake bite. Like, when it bites you, it's you pulling your hand away that shreds your hand the worst.
Yeah, but anyways, David Blaine, it's a little bit different, I'd say, because it's like, with some of these like holding your breath sort of situations and stuff, like, yeah, it's really dangerous, but like you can always like come up and there's people there to like do CPR. With something like that where he's just floating up with no parachute, like that's sketch. And he could have done it with a parachute from the beginning, but the whole thing was, number one, it's not scary enough and not crazy enough. But number two, he wanted this picture of a dude floating with the balloons. Like, he wanted the image. He's such a visionary. He wanted that image of him floating up with these balloons. And if he had a backpack on, it would, like, destroy the image in his own head. He wanted it to look as much just like a normal guy holding on with one hand.
I've heard the term visionary used my entire life, and only just now did it, like, click in my head. Like, yeah, it's like when you have a vision for something and you work hard until you literally see it.
Totally.
Like it is you are a visionary. And I always thought a visionary was like someone, that's just not how I imagined it, but that totally makes so much more sense now.
Yeah. I think a visionary is like someone who can, like I can think of things, but I typically have to like mock it up somehow, like on Photoshop or something. Like when I was imagining what this set would look like, mm-hmm. I kind of had some ideas.
The 80 podcast set.
But I needed to like put it in Photoshop or something. I think there's some people that literally can just like all up here.
Dude, they I'm might not way. Even. I can like see things and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I want.
Yeah.
And that's how you get it.
Exactly. And like.
But being able to verbally communicate that to people so that it then turns out the way you want
exactly,
it to.
Because he didn't.
That's its own thing. Like, I think
he didn't
like,
know
that's
all the
challenging part, really.
He didn't know what he logistically needed to do to get there, but
he knows
the right team and everything.
He knows what it's supposed to look like. He's like,
exactly.
He's like, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's going to do. I don't know how to get there, but that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say go back and watch all the Ascension videos and everything. We don't need to get into all the details of all the crazy shit that he did. I think just go watch it.
Watch the trailer, check out the Joe Rogan podcast.
It got me emotional, dude, because like I mean he lived, obviously he didn't die. That's the crazy part about the live, you're watching it was live streamed, and so I'm like, you're literally watching it live and you're like, I might watch David Blaine die, you know. I think that's the craziest part about it, is his stunts are, you know, designed for a live viewing, you know, like when he buried himself alive, he didn't just do it, he did it in the middle of a park under glass so people could go observe him underground. You know, when he frees himself in an ice block, he's doing it in the middle of some public area so that people can watch him do it. And I think that I think he feeds off of that, but also that's, you know, it's the spectacle of it and everything, but the fact that
there's
been live streams,
it has to do
crazy.
with the extreme levels of mental toughness.
Totally
like
totally.
I think in the same way that like powerlifters lift up heavy weights and strongmen do and bodybuilders pose, it's like David Blaine's like, I'm going to do something that only my brain is capable of doing.
He can push his body past the limits that his own body even, like, he knows, okay, my body's giving me this signal telling me everything inside of me is telling me to stop.
To abort,
but I
to
know
escape, to quit. Yeah.
How to
you
push
know he was
past
born with
it.
Asthma.
Really? That's
isn't
crazy.
That, isn't that whack?
And he's like the breath holding guy now. crazy. But you know what was even crazier is I was watching it live, right? And as he's, so he got up, he was floating, he got to the point where he's starting to put on his parachute and stuff, and we were taking off on the plane coming back here.
Yeah, so.
And I'm about to lose cell phone service.
So
I wasn't able to actually, so as David Blaine is hitting class A, altitude,
we were also
hitting like class A altitude. And it was funny because I had paused it a few times, so I was watching it like a minute and a half delayed slightly. So I like was in the air and I'm like, when is it gonna cut out? When is it gonna cut out? Because I knew I wasn't gonna see it, but I was hoping that I would at least get to see him let go of the balloons and start skydiving, but I didn't. But right when we landed, I was able to watch it, and I was so glad to see that he landed and everything. But it was just like so heartwarming to see him like reunite with his daughter and stuff. Like that was just priceless. But
yeah, I mean, it was a good thing he was on time for his flight. You know, like if he wouldn't have been there, he couldn't have the balloons. It just wouldn't have worked. You know,
yeah, being late for a flight is being late to the airport because he was at an airport.
Yeah, class A.
Have you ever been late to an airport before,
no,
Richard?
Never. Yes. We almost missed this Houston flight. We were like 5 minutes. They were like, I literally had enough time to pee and then get on. And they were like,
You barely had enough time to pee. I went and told them, I got a guy coming.
They shut the doors. He totally pulled the wheelchair card. He's like, I got a guy in a wheelchair in the bathroom right now. And they're like, okay, well
wait. Anytime you say wheelchair, the people are like giving you the benefit of the doubt type of thing, you know?
Yeah. But I had, so like,
we were planning, you said, I'll pick you up at your house at 7:45 or 8.
Yeah.
Our flight was at 10:30.
Which means we were boarding at 10.
No, wait.
No, 9:30.
Our flight was at 9:30.
No, that's wrong. Not at 9:30. Fuck, what time was it? Let me look.
Our flight was at 9:30, but that meant we were boarding at 9. But Richard didn't think about the fact that we were boarding at 9. He thought we were boarding at 9:30, so he's like, I'll pick you up at 7:45 or 8.
Yeah.
And we're like 30 minutes from the airport. So I'm thinking, if he comes at 7:45, he's kind of giving me a little bit of a window. I'm typically running behind a little bit. So like, you know, I was like, 7:45 might be cutting it. But like,
I also got,
Richard's typically very punctual. So I was like,
but I do also have like cripple kid shit that happens every now and then.
True.
And I'm like, okay, I'll be 5:10.
But I was thinking if we left by 7:45, 8 would be pushing it. We'll be okay. I call you at 7:36. And I was like, hey, where are you at? I don't know if I have enough time to make some eggs.
Yeah, you said
I was gonna make some eggs.
You said, are you close? Am I out of time? And I was like, yeah.
I was like, what's your ETA?
I was like, I'll be closer to 8.
And he said, I'll be closer to 8. And you said, what time are you gonna be ready? And I was like, I am ready. I'm asking you if I'm good to make some eggs. And you go, yeah. I'll see you in a bit or whatever.
But little did Andrew know that phone call woke me up. That was the phone call that woke me up. I set my alarm for 7 because I knew it was going to take me about 45 minutes to get out the door. That was going to get me a shower. That was going to get me be able to eat. I was going to put on my clothes, pack my shit, get out the door. No, because this is what happened. I woke up at like 5:30 or 6 because like I couldn't sleep well the night before because I was so excited for this trip. I was fucking pumped. I was like, first trip back. Like, I'm doing a video with Pitt.
Literally
I'm
our first trip since last year around this time.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Yeah. And I was like so stoked. I'm like, yes. So I woke up. It was like 5:36. I'm like pumped. I'm amped. I'm like, dude, it's cool. Like, I like roamed around the house a little bit, like chilled. I was like, I can lay in the bed and play on my phone for a little while. And then when my 7 o'clock alarm goes off, I'll just like, you know, get back to whatever. Maybe I snoozed it. Maybe I turned it off. Don't know. Don't remember. But him calling me, hearing the, I was like, oh, fuck. He's ready. I'm late. And I picked up my phone. It was like 7:36.
I wish you would have said something because I honestly could have just driven to you and then we could have just like zipped down.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't realize that was what the case was. He's like, it'll be a little closer today. And I was like, not annoyed, but I was just kind of like, well, okay, whatever. I mean, I'm like, we're going to be late, but I'm like, okay. At
8:15, I was turning on where like the Dunkin' is and the Starbucks. He's like, hey, where are you? I'm like, I just turned where the Dunkin' is. He's like, you know, we're not going to make it, right? And I was like, yeah, I know.
Like, okay, so our plane boards at 9. He's picking me up. Like, we eventually left my driveway at like 8:20.
Basically 8:20.
So we had 40 minutes to board. So, and it was a 30-minute drive to the airport.
So to get there, park, get out,
literally,
go through TSA, take the train, get to the terminal in like 40 minutes.
So when we parked, first of all, the normal parking area that we park in was like closed. So we had to like park in another area and there was no handicap parking. Like, it was all messed up. And literally when we parked, I'm like, cool, we've got 13 minutes until we board or something like that. Like, literally, it was like 13 minutes.
You said some shit, you're like, man, it's going to be hard to run with the suitcase or some shit like that. Like,
yeah, because in my head when I was there, I was thinking like the whole time because I hadn't had any caffeine that whole weekend. I was like, I'm kind of sluggish. I like didn't get like a ton of sleep because I edited the blooper video the night before. I was like, I'm going to sleep on this plane. And one of the biggest things that like I know is if I'm like late for a flight, number one, I'm gonna be sweaty. And anxious. Number two, I'm gonna be anxious. And number three, I'm gonna be like so amped up. But by the time my body finally calms down, like the flight's half over, I'm not gonna get to sleep.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not getting any fucking sleep on this flight. And I'm gonna be sweaty and uncomfortable and fucking whatever. So I was like, well, this will be fun running in the airport or something along those lines. But Richard didn't have to get a full pat down during security.
Dude, the
first time ever.
Ever. He just like grabbed one of the like little like make sure I don't have a bomb on me sniff test things. He literally like wiped my back and then wiped my crotch and just like put it in the machine. He's like, all right, dog, you're good to go. And I was like, bet.
And I had to swipe my shit through twice. They were like, you didn't take your cameras out. I'm like, I have one camera. Well, it was like a GoPro in there too. But I was like, it's one camera. And they were like, well, you got to take it out. And I'm like, they never make me do it ever before or whatever. And they're like, well, you got to go back around. And I was like, do I have to put all my shit through again? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. And so I ran over to Richard, gave him all of my stuff so I didn't have to put it all through again. And then I unzipped my suitcase. All I did was just take my camera bag out of my suitcase and put the camera bag on a thing. I didn't even take the camera out of the camera bag. And I'm like,
and then it passed.
I'm like, hey, dipshits. There was like this much of a layer of X-ray that like helped you. Like it didn't.
Made no sense.
It was so annoying.
When I went through the airport, I remember I had my Polaroid, my film camera, and like my digital film camera. And like every time it went through, like take the camera out. It literally went through like six times. Like take the camera out. I'm like,
dude, the thing is, okay, so I've traveled a lot with cameras. And every time they tell you something different, they go, oh, well, the way that it was like vertical in there. So it looked like it was something else.
The reason
okay,
why
I'll lay
is
it different.
Anytime they see any type of computer circuit board that, cause that's where like bombs are made. They have to have some sort of triggering device.
Oh, I understand. So, but the thing if it was consistently always a problem, then I would understand, but it's always fucking something different. Also, I never take my liquids out and they never say shit. They never say shit.
Also, the sizes of my stuff, like my toiletries, are they're all over 100. Like they're, it's like whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing is with TSA, I don't do anything extra. I take my shoes off. I do take my laptop out because I know they're going to bitch about that. And I send it through and whatever fucking happens, happens because it's never predictable. And I follow, even when one time I was like, let's see, I'm going to follow every rule that I've ever heard and let's see. And they still made me go through twice. And in Europe, especially, they're like, oh, this guy's foreigner. We're going to fucking explore everything. Make him take apart his whole suitcase.
And what's interesting is like I had some tools that I was taking to Brent that Mr. Steele gave me. And those tools could have been used to shank people. Like they were like there was no like blades, but like I could have.
It was like a very small screwdriver that you could definitely like this, stab
like
someone
an ice
with.
Pick. Like this thing could have definitely been, and there was like wire cutters. And like there was a lot of stuff I could have used to really fuck up a lot of people.
Let's be honest though, and they didn't. You could fuck up some people, but could you hijack a plane?
I mean, people have hijacked planes with like butter knives. That's why they stopped putting knives on planes. Seriously,
people have hijacked planes with butter knives.
With attempted.
Attempted is not the same as doing it.
All right, that's why we take our shoes off, because shoe
I
bombs.
I could attempt.
Remember
to,
shoe bombs?
I could
remember
attempt
that bullshit?
To, I could attempt to hijack a plane by hitting you over the head with my shoe. Doesn't mean it's going to fucking work. I don't think you can. I just don't imagine anyone for real hijacking a plane with a tiny little ice pick. I think you need something more high powered.
Word.
That's why I don't think that they care. You know, and also it's like, I think TSA, really, it's more just to deter people from doing anything serious. Because it's like, they don't fucking check you when you go into a mall. They don't fucking check you when you go on a train. They don't. It's just something about the fact that you're flying.
It's because isolated. No one.
But
no
a
one.
Train is isolated. You could kill way more people on a train than you could on an airplane, bro. So many more people are on trains than airplanes.
Oh,
they
no,
don't
no.
do any security on fucking trains.
And it's like if one of those buses comes off, it's like.
Yeah. If any of those fucking train cars explode or anything, you are killing hundreds of people. And planes just simply can't carry as many people as a train can. But it's like because you're in that enclosed tube flying through the sky. People just get way more anxious about it, and obviously 9/11 and all that stuff. But it's like there's been way crazier like train things, and you know, like whatever. Anyways, I'll get off my high horse,
bro.
But it doesn't matter.
We got
anyways,
so much to talk about.
But anyways, we're almost late for the flight.
We're almost late
for the flight, and Richard was like, "Dude, I got 30 minutes in me before I like pee on myself or something, and I don't want to like have to." Worry about like peeing during the flight and blah blah blah. Like I'm going to the bathroom and I'm like, dude, I don't know if we got time for that. Like I was literally in my head.
I pulled it off. I pulled it
off. We might not. We were in the bathroom because I'm like, well, if he's peeing, I'm gonna pee because I'll be like five times faster. So I peed real fast and over the loudspeaker they're like, flight 1725, last call. And I'm like, that's us. Like I literally yelled. I'm like, Richard, that's us.
And I go, I heard.
And he didn't have a gate check thing on his wheelchair yet and like all this stuff. So I go out to the main area and I told her what the deal was and all this stuff. And they, you know, they held it up. I mean, they didn't really hold it up, but it was like, we were the last ones on the plane.
As soon as we sat down, they shut the door. It was one of those things. Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, so then we ended up landed in Houston, got a rental car, you know, like got some groceries, checked into the Airbnb. And yo, I didn't think that the whole like everything's bigger in Texas shit was real, but like it's real.
Well, we've been to Austin.
We've been to San Antonio, but like there's just something about, they're like, okay, here's the thing. We're going to make a grocery store, but we're going to use 9 times the amount of regular building material required. Like we're going to make it like 35 feet tall, even though the roof of the ceiling is 10 feet. Okay. We're going to put like a massive sign on a massive facade inside of a massive parking lot with like massive lights. And you're like, why does it have to be so huge? Like everything is just fucking gigantic.
They just go ham. They just want to be
like just on a pure scale. Like just
Well, here's the thing, though.
Even the skyscrapers, like, we were coming into Atlanta after landing, and I'm like, yo, Atlanta looks like a little bitch city. Like, it looks like some pussy-ass shit right now. Like, it looks tiny. Like, our biggest building looks like a carrot in comparison to stakes. You know?
Are you a little bit sad about that?
No, I don't give a shit. I like Atlanta. But I'm just saying, like, it was just, I was in awe of the massive size of some of these things. Like, it was just, like, just huge.
That's what she said.
Yes.
Anyways, so basically, we checked into our Airbnb. By the way, as an Airbnb host, here's a little pro tip.
Yeah, fuck
this. Don't buy the cheapest shit from IKEA as all of the furniture.
Yeah, it was a condo in a high rise, but it felt like I was in like the basement of someone's house. It was like
this is a $5 table from IKEA.
The whole house was decorated in this shit.
Literally, the shit in David Dobrik's vlogs where Alex fucking stomps through it with one stomp. That's the coffee table. That was the end tables. The fucking couch was the cheapest futon from IKEA.
The bed.
Literally, the couch, dishes. When you sat on it, you were like, ow, I didn't realize this couch was made of cardboard. It was just, and oh, yeah, the toilet paper was all literally like
it was
half ply.
It was a half ply.
Like less than one ply, bro. It was literally like, if I only used one square, my finger was slipping into my butthole.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, this is,
I had to double that up.
Like, it was a nice building, but the unit was just garbage.
Yeah, we were in like a high-rise condo building, which is always funny because like condos, you're not really supposed to do Airbnb, so it's always weird when you check in.
They're like, all right, you gotta grab a key from a box that's a mile and a half down the road. It's in a special code next to the auto body shop, and you gotta type in 213, and then make sure you don't talk to the concierge, and like just go straight up to the elevator.
If anyone asks you if you live there, you're gonna say yes, and you're gonna say that you blah 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 blah. Yeah, it was just ridiculous, but it was great. It was cool. We didn't spend like tons of time in the Airbnb anyways.
It didn't really matter. I mean, the thing is, the reason why we do Airbnbs and not hotels is for a kitchen. That's literally the only reason is for a kitchen.
Because Richard can't eat out for shit.
I can't eat out. So that's one of the things that also took some time is we had to go to the grocery store. We spent like an hour in the 45 minutes in the grocery store picking out groceries. But that's fine because we had to wait until 3 o'clock to check into our Airbnb, even though we requested an early check-in. They were like, nope. I'm like, all right, fine.
Yeah. But anyways, shot some awesome videos. Should we talk about the videos or should we let it like ride?
I think we could talk about the videos.
Okay, cool.
I mean, so the
one that's coming out tomorrow. So the podcast comes out on Thursday.
It's coming out Saturday.
It'll come
Saturday.
Out on Saturday.
Just
yeah.
Say Saturday.
If you're a patron, it comes out on Friday.
Yeah. And also if you want to know about them bloopers, you better jump on Patreon too.
Dude, the blooper video that I did, AJ hasn't seen it, I don't think, because you're not on the blooper tier of the Patreon.
Pretty
but,
funny.
Dude, we need to pimp that out more, because that was hilarious.
Yeah, the blooper reel is funny. So many people are
should
like,
should we play like a section of it on the podcast
like,
just to tease
they're
them?
They're like, oh, poor Jalila. Because she has to deal with my ass.
Jalila had some funny ass moments in the bloopers.
For real.
She has some good
all
like
those
one-liners.
Eye rolls.
Oh my God. So many good eye rolls. I love eating eye rolls. Anyways, that was the dumbest joke I've ever told. Anyways, pretend like that didn't happen.
I don't know if we have we can talk about video, but let's definitely talk about characters. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes. So there's this dude that Richard has introduced me to on Instagram. And his Instagram name is Pitbull Rule, right?
Yeah, Pitbull Rule.
Pitbull Rule, R-U-H-L.
Rule.
And
yes.
this guy is a, when you think of an amputee, you think of a guy that's maybe wearing some prosthetics, maybe he's a little bit janky, he's probably not like, maybe he's not like the most in shape, he maybe walks with like some canes or something, probably prosthetics. I'm thinking, if you're an amputee, thinking prosthetics.
I mean, it depends on
the type of amputee.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking like stereotypical. I know that we've got all kinds of people in our audience, so this is like, totally against what Wheels to Walking is, but when I think of like an amputee, I don't think of what Pitbull is. So Pitbull
has
like two nubs. He's been an amputee since he was two.
Yeah.
So he's had no leg since he was young.
Yeah. His right leg is a little bit longer and a little bit bigger, but they're both above the knee. Like his left one is like his femur's cut in half.
There's not much of a nub.
Yeah.
There's one that's like a real mini nub and one that's like a 3/4 of a femur.
There might be a knee joint in that one.
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't think there's any flexion, and I think it was cut above the knee.
I don't know.
Either way. Because motherfucker, if he was a full-size human, he'd be tall. I think his femur would be way longer if there was a knee joint.
He'd be like 6 plus.
So basically, this dude is jacked beyond belief.
He's like a Geodude. He's like a rock with muscle arms. He's
like if you know the Pokemon Geodude.
He's a Geodude.
He's a human Geodude.
He's a Geodude.
And in person, it's even more just like I think, like I look at Richard, I'm like, that guy's pretty fucking
dude,
jacked.
Dude, I looked like
Richard
spaghetti.
Looks like a pussy.
A little spaghetti arm pussy ass bitch, dude. Richard, this guy fucking made me look like a turtle, dude. Like he
literally
made me so tiny.
In the footage, in the video, so we shot a video with him, obviously. In the footage, like literally I was filming, I'm like, dude, I literally was like, damn. Like just seeing the contrast,
it's like, does Richard even work out? I don't even know. Does he even work out? I don't know.
Dude, this motherfucker, like if he tried, he could sweep at any bodybuilding competition.
Oh, dude, he's
not even that lean. He is lean.
He
could
do like a 6-week like mini prep and just fucking clean house.
But on top of him just being the most unique looking guy,
he also uses mostly a wheelchair to get around too.
He does.
He used a skateboard like for 22 years, and then he transitioned into a wheelchair. But he's
almost 31 now.
But he walks on his hands a lot. Like he jumps out of that wheelchair and walks on his hands a lot. But as like he is not playing a character, but he is a character. Like and like when you think of like a thoroughbred Texas boy who will fight you if you talk bad about his mama, that's
100%. That's him. That's like not only is that like just a metaphor, that's like 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Like he told a story on the podcast, or was it on the podcast he was talking about that?
Yeah, I don't remember.
No, it wasn't on the podcast because he was talking about how like HBO was at his house like filming something and they like asked him a question about his mom that like made it.
He didn't
think was cool, and he was like wanted to fight the HBO producers and shit. And it was funny because there's a video on World Star Hip Hop of him fighting a dude.
Like
you'll see it in the video because we're going to put a clip of it, I think, in the main video. Yeah. But he, some dude, like, at a club or something, like, started, like, twerking on him in his wheelchair, and he started beating the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And there's a video of this Geodude motherfucker just pounding this guy. Dude, you have to listen. So the podcast that he and this other dude, Brent, they both host a podcast called The Cripple Couch. Is that what it's called?
Cripple Couch Talk, I think.
Cripple Couch Talk. And so that was the podcast that we guested on, and he told some amazing stories on
that
podcast.
You guys literally have to listen to that story. Like,
so funny.
Like, he is...
unbelievable stories.
He looks like the kind of guy who, like, works on an oil rig, but also, for fun, rides bulls and trains wild horses.
He
drives a lifted truck and fights dogs. Like, he just... Like,
when we were driving home, I was like, if I had to pick any person to be the description of a loose cannon, it's fucking Pit. He is a
shot
loose...
You could shoot
him out of a cannon because he's a fucking Geodude. But he is a loose cannon, bro. He says what he wants to say. He does what he wants to do. Does not give a fuck what you think, dude. He does not. He just... And I think the fact that
he looks unique...
He's just like one of the most unique motherfuckers I've ever met.
It's like a unique...
I can't believe he's a person.
It's like a unique body with a unique mind, with a unique personality, doing unique things. It's like, literally, at one point...
He's an anomaly at every single point
he literally, at one point, he was talking about like... His very first post on Instagram got him 14,000 followers. And recently he called his manager, goes, "Hey man, what do I need to do to go viral?" And his manager was like, "Oh, you just need to do this." And he goes, "Okay." And then he went viral. Like, he just does shit.
You know how many people every single day, they like sit around and they go, what can we do to go viral? All he has to do is just do some shit that he does every day and film it.
Yeah.
Because he's so fucking unique. It's insane.
Yeah.
And he could use that as a weakness, bro. Like, he could be totally ashamed of his body and totally, you know, like, ashamed and wheel around and be, you know, "Oh, don't look at me. I'm weird and disabled and I'm a geode." Oh, I mean, ashamed of his body. He owns it, bro. He fucking owns it.
And he's like the opposite, I think, of what most people think of a stereotype of a disabled person, but especially a disabled person from birth, you know? And like,
since he was two.
And like, shout out to Mama Rule, because she didn't treat him any different.
She trained him to be independent.
She made him like carry groceries and like fill gas and like do the dishes and like laundry and like clean.
And he said something about like, this is a story he hates telling because he told it like one time and now they always ask him to tell it. But his mom had the dishes up on the top cabinets and he was like, "Mom, can we put the dishes down low?" She's like, "No." She's like, "No, you got to fucking hop up on the counter and get the dishes." Like, she made him, she didn't treat him any different than an able-bodied person, not to like make fun of him or spite him, but because she realized the world is not going to adapt to him. He needed to learn how to adapt. Cause like, okay, fine. In our house, the dishes are down low, but what happens when you go to someone else's house and you need to get up on the fucking counter? You need to know how to maneuver yourself in this world. And I literally, like, that whole rest of the night driving home, I could not stop thinking about how fucking crazy that dude is. You literally just,
like, over, like, we stayed up to like 1:30 or 2 that night because you had, like, some people pop in for a second. But
my friend Haley, who lives in Houston, came over.
Literally, like, every time you'd be like, it was like a good 30-minute drive home. You're like, "I can't believe he's real. Is he real? Like, God.
He's a cartoon character, dude. He's a fucking Geodude."
But the thing is, like, he is not playing a character. And a lot of people ask
they
that.
Think
like,
he's a front.
Like, but, like, what are you doing acting? Like, what are you acting tough? You think you're tough? Like, you just pretending to be someone you're not? And he's like, "This is just who I am."
He's like,
like this is
you
just
think
who,
this is a game, like, motherfucker?
Do you think I'm pretending right now? Like it's... You got to listen to that podcast, guys. Like, dude, seriously. That
when
podcast
I say those,
is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Dude. Just a recap of some of the stories he told on the podcast.
Quick recap.
Told a story about how he got beat up by like 6 cops who didn't realize that he didn't have legs.
Yeah.
How he went to this like MILF's house and her son like confronted him about like, you know, sleeping with his mom who was going through like a divorce and like fucking like just the craziest, weirdest story about.
Yes.
About I don't even know how to summarize that story, but it was insane.
Yeah.
I don't even remember some of the other stories he was telling, but like literally.
Fucking nerds!
Oh yeah, another story where he was dating some older lady and like somehow like didn't realize that people could hear him and like yelled a bunch of stuff in a porta potty. Like it was just so ridiculous. Dude, first of all, imagine him using a porta potty. That would be so gross.
Well, what
he'd have to use his hands to climb
what
up.
What I found was interesting is like at one point he asked me, he's like, "So, you know, was the room what you thought it looked like online?"
He has a gym in his house, and it's
like,
in a bedroom.
And I was like, yeah, it looks a little bit different. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit larger, blah, 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 film, whatever. He's like, "Well, what about me? What'd you think? Like, am I what you thought?" And I'm like, "Exactly." I'm like, "You are precisely exactly." Bro, we wrote—
Maybe even more of yourself. Like, maybe you, maybe he tones it up a little for Instagram. Maybe just like, just a smidge.
No.
That's
and that was
who
thing,
he
we,
is.
We wrote an intro to this video before we met him. And then after we left that video, we were like, "That was the perfect intro. That
100%.
We can't do it any better. Like, it's perfect. Like, it is exactly— Exactly.
Big Zach.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it is exactly what we, precisely what we fucking anticipated.
And yeah, like literally the intro is like,
and he's a dope ass motherfucker. Like, I like this guy a lot.
Intro, we're like, he smokes blunts, drinks espresso, and even though he doesn't have legs, he'll still kick your ass or something like that.
Yeah. I don't want to. I can pull it up right now and say, dude, but I don't want to say it because I'm gonna save it for the video. But it's like
podcast homies are tight though.
Yeah, it's true. It's like he ain't got no legs, but
he'll still kick your ass. Literally, dude. Like,
he's the kind of motherfucker that like I literally was thinking. I was like, yo, wheelchair or nah? He's the kind of dude that I just like want in my corner. Like, 100%. I want to go address a problem that I have with someone else, but him just like
just be just right here. Just be chilling right beside me. Him say nothing, him do nothing, just be there. Because ain't no one gonna fucking backtalk. It's like it's nah. It's so and like he's a very, very interesting because it's like it's so real, it's so legit. And like
yeah. You guys will just have to see the video. Honestly, I'd say that's probably one of our favorite videos we've shot. Just not even based on the video, just hanging out with him, honestly. Yeah.
Like he worked me out. He worked me out so hard. I'm pretty sure my liver and my kidneys like started.
That was the hardest like, work. At the beginning, you literally go, Pitbull is going to put me through the hardest workout I've ever gone through. And he did not disappoint.
I've gone through a lot of hard workouts before and I've done a lot of hard work before, but I've never had my organs be like, we're done. Like you can't like stop. Like I literally felt like parts of the inside of my body like cramping and seizing and twitching and like I felt sick, dude. I forgot how to think. Like I went full like zombie mode. But the thing was I was motivated to perform because one, it was for a video, but two, because he told me, he's like, dude, I love working out with people that give 100% effort because that makes me 100% trainer. He's like, if you give 40% effort, you're going to get 40% trainer. He's like, when you push, I push. And he's like, when I see you doing stuff, I'm going to holler. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to push you. He's like, and it was cool, man. Cause straight up, I mean, there was at one point where he was just yelling at me for like 3.5 minutes, just fucking yelling at me. But the whole time I kept repping. I kept doing reps. Like I kept fucking making it happen. It was crazy.
And again, it was literally like you work out a lot, obviously, but like look like just him next to you, literally makes you look like a little bitch.
This dude, so
he's a Geo dude, man.
I want to say
he's a Machop.
I think he was saying
or what's the Machamp? He's a fucking Machamp.
I want to say he said he started working out like in high school, and he's like 30 something now, so he's been working out pretty much nonstop. And he said he played. Like
he played football,
like able-bodied football. He played able-bodied.
I never asked him what position he played. I assume he plays. He played defense because they told him to kill the man, which means get the ball.
Get the quarterback. Kill the
so,
man,
dude, yeah. Imagine just a dude with no legs just fucking tackling you with
just,
your feet.
Just sweeping. Because
that's the thing
you.
Is you dive at people and get their feet. He's already down there, and he's dude. If that guy sweeping. Was able-bodied, we were talking about. He's like he's got to be like 6'5".
Well, it was
he's huge.
It was funny, Brent and I.
His hands are like literally twice the size of my hands.
You and me and Brent were joking around when we shot the video the next day, and I was like, Zach seems like the kind of guy that if he was able-bodied, he'd be in prison. And Brent goes, he'd probably be in prison right now.
he'd probably
still be in prison.
I think I said that. I was like, I'm honestly surprised he's not in prison right now.
not jail, like prison. Like this dude's rowdy, man.
Yeah,
but all that to be said, got a heart of gold.
He cares, man.
Like he cares a lot. He's like a genuine dude, and
he gets a lot of hate.
He gets a lot of hate for his abilities, and he also gets a lot of hate because he doesn't have sympathy for people. He's like, fuck you and your sob story. I just need to
know. Everyone's got a sob story.
He's like, everybody's got a sob story. He's like, all I need to know is what your limitations are and what you want to do to make yourself better. Like, he's like, y'all talking all this shit. He's like, I want to know when you're going to roll your casters through my door and come into my gym so I can put you through a workout. He's like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. Like, and I think also he got a lot of hate, I think, from, like, spinal cord injury community because, like.
It's not just that. It's so he is a disabled person who uses a wheelchair. He's amputee. He uses a wheelchair. So the first controversy is he doesn't use prosthetics and uses a wheelchair. Almost all amputees are anti-wheelchair and choose to use prosthetics if they can. So in the same way that, like, I can stand and walk a little bit, I use the wheelchair. He gets that same kind of hate.
Yes.
There's also...
So he's kind of, like, outcasted from the amputee community.
Yeah, and then...
And then when he goes to the wheelchair community he's outcast from there.
It's outcast again. And the thing is, he was telling me, he's like,
because yeah. I think mainly bowel and bladder stuff, honestly. Like, a lot of spinal cord injury, people, like,
maybe
deal with that, and they don't have any core, and he's got full core, he's got full bowel and bladder function, so he doesn't have to use catheters or any of that stuff. So they're like, ah, this guy's a faker.
I don't know all that exactly, but that sounds possible. I mean, but also it's the fact that it's like...
Or like, you don't know my struggle kind of thing. I don't know,
but it's also I think it's the like he was in the, like the powerlifting, like adaptive athlete, like CrossFit world for like forever, and then he like moved his way over kind of like to like the wheelchair world, and people are like losing their shit because it's like, you don't represent us, and he's like, don't hit your thumb, hit that unfollow button, like
It's very.
What was the world record that he beat? Was it for bench
press
as
an
amputee?
I don't know. I think it's bench press world record for his weight class. And so, like,
does that mean because he's so light, says he doesn't have legs?
I don't know exactly.
He holds a world record for bench press somehow. And one of the things about bench press is you got to have your feet on the floor.
Well, they used to do that. The USA,
and because he doesn't have feet, they had to give him some like fake prosthetic. So like literally they janked up these little legs for him that were made out of like a thin pipe, like a thin metal pipe.
And they like taped him to his,
bullshit!
He like taped him to his nubs.
I spilled water. They taped him to his nubs.
It doesn't hit the wires.
I think it was like barely any.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Have you ever seen the movie Robots? You know that movie Robots?
Yeah.
And you know how they got those tiny little, they got those tiny little like skinny metal legs. It looked like that. Like his legs looked like these tiny little skinny legs. And it's the funniest looking thing. We'll have to find the picture somewhere or the video. We'll put it in there.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's on his Instagram somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll find it and AJ will put it in the podcast if you're watching the video. But anyways, that video is coming out on Saturday. And if you're a patron, it comes out on Friday.
And it was cool.
So be on the lookout.
It was cool as shit, man. Cause like, one of the things I love the most about the internet is, dude, I've been hanging out with Pitt, you know, on his page, in his DMs, in groups for like 2 years now. So when we met in person, it was like, hey, man, nice to meet you. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean nice to meet you? We know each other. Like, just because it's the first time we met in real life doesn't mean we don't know each other. Same thing with Brent. Brent was like, nice to finally meet you. And I'm like, we know each other, you know, like.
Yeah.
It was also, I felt the same thing with Kenny when Kenny popped in. When Kenny was here, he was like, hey, man, nice to meet you. I'm like, it doesn't feel like we're meeting for the first time.
Yeah.
It feels like
meeting in person.
It feels like we're old friends. It feels like we're homies. And yeah, it's really kind of interesting how that works out. But yeah, man, we hung out. It was so funny. We showed up as like 4 o'clock and he's like in his driveway, like smoking a blunt. I'm like, man, we're about to do a workout video. And then he makes me like this huge, massive like shot of espresso. I take the espresso. We chat a little bit. He's like, all right, boy, let's get this working. And we both go through this like gnarly fucking workout.
Yeah.
Brent's there like just watching and laughing.
Yeah, dude. It was nuts.
We do like the interview and then right after that we jump in the podcast, do the podcast. Podcast is really cool.
Are we just recapping the rest of the day? I think that was pretty much it, right? Because we talked about the podcast and then when we left, like we said, when we left Pitt's house, it was literally just like, what the fuck? That was like the weirdest, craziest experience.
It was cool shit.
Yeah.
It was cool shit.
It was dope. And then the next day, we basically had the whole day to like explore, kind of, right?
Well, we ended up like kind of sleeping in a little bit.
Well, you were dead. You were like, I'm going to sleep in as much as
I need to. I'm still sore. It's 48 hours later. I'm still hurting. Like it fucked me up. And we stayed up late because you had a friend pop in for two minutes.
In my sleep or no?
I don't know, dude. I don't pay attention. Whatever.
Dude, I had a nightmare that the crane outside of our window.
Yeah,
smashed
that was another great thing about our Airbnb. They started construction at 3:30 or fucking 4 in the morning doing jackhammers on concrete. So I wake up to. It was just like, fucking Christ, dude. Like, can I catch a break?
Yeah.
Trying to sleep.
Not fun.
But anyway, we got up, drank some coffee, had some food, didn't get out the door until like fucking 12, but we just had basically like 5 hours to burn.
Yeah. So we drove like down. Did we get to Galveston?
No, but we went over. If anybody knows anything about Houston, we were in Midtown and we drove over to Baytown and then we took the coast down to Galveston. But when we were driving down to Galveston, we passed like all the NASA stuff. And then
we literally just passed it. We like stopped and we didn't go in the museum or anything, but we saw the shuttle outside, space shuttle. And we saw the Falcon 9, the SpaceX Falcon 9 was literally there.
That was cool.
Which, by the way, one of the Falcon things took off the other day. And it was during when there was like flash flooding. And it was so funny because I was just on YouTube. On the explore page, it was like trending number one, SpaceX thing. I click on it. I'm like, oh, it's live. I click on it and it goes three, two, one. And it takes off. I'm like, I joined at the best time. Let's go. And then I'm watching it take off. I watch it for like 2 minutes. And then my brother runs into my room and goes, dude, the basement's flooding. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening right now? That was before we left. But anyways, that was still this week. Dude, this week has been nuts.
Yeah.
But
and then literally Brent was at work. We were waiting for Brent to get off work and Brent goes, I gotta try to say it in Brent voice. He goes, "Well, man, before you're gonna be around here, you gotta go run into Bucky's." And I was like, "Bucky's?"
He's
like,
and Haley told us about it too.
Haley told, and basically, this is how he described it. He goes, "Yeah, it's a gas station convenience store that like sells furniture and shit." And we were like, "What?"
It was like, they were basically like, it's like the craziest gas station ever.
It's Costco. It's the Costco of gas stations.
But Costco has a gas station, so it's kind of like, eh.
No, but I guess what I mean is, like,
it's a gas station first, and it's got so many rows of gas pumps,
It probably has 50 regular pumps, 30 no ethanol pumps, and 20 diesel pumps. So it's, like, probably 100 pumps. And then when you go inside, it feels like you're inside, it's, like, the size of a, like, a grocery store. It's huge.
It's bigger than, like, an Aldi, honestly. Like,
oh, you can fit two Aldis, maybe three Aldis in there.
Two.
Two.
And
it's huge, dude.
So they've got, first of all, merch. So they've got Bucky's merch everywhere. They had a whole clothing section, towels, onesies, Bucky's, like, their mascot's like a little beaver. They got Bucky's, wine glasses, shot glasses, baby clothes, beanies, pajamas, plush toys. You fucking name it.
They got branded Bucky stuff everywhere.
And Richard was like, if they got Bucky shirts, I want to get one. Like, it was so funny. If they've got Bucky shirts. They had a whole fucking Bucky section.
Yeah. And it was like water bottles. There was a full-on, like, restaurant and, like, dessert bar and, like, pastries and, like, fucking, like, there was a camping section and, like, a bait and tackle section. And, like, it was fucking ridiculous. I'm like, is this
They literally had a section where they were chopping brisket and, like sliced steak and stuff. I got a brisket sandwich. They had a full Dippin' Dots freezer where they were scooping Dippin' Dots. They had a giant coffee section, a whole wall of candy. Like, they've a live bait section. You could buy a fucking Yeti coolers. Like, literally,
it was so many
slushy machines.
How many urinals were in the bathroom? Like 90.
Literally, a whole room. Like, imagine like a really big bathroom. And then imagine the whole perimeter of that wall just covered in urinals. There's probably at least like 50 urinals.
Like, never in the life of that place.
I've never seen a bathroom with that many urinals.
Has all those urinals been occupied at the same time? Like, maybe if it was the seventh
inning. Brent said we had to get the full Bucky's experience. You have to go to the bathroom.
He goes, I'm going to try to do Brent accent. In order to fully appreciate the Bucky's experience, Zach, you got to go to use bathroom. That was a bad Brent, but anyway.
He's not that, yeah. But that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
He's like, in order to
get the full Bucky's experience, you
got to. And here's the thing. They literally have a full-time bathroom attendant that its job is just to make sure that the bathrooms are nice.
Yeah, he's
and
just
clean.
In there, and when you go and use one of the things, he goes and cleans up right after. The bathrooms are super clean.
The smallest section in the entire place was the cooler for the drinks. That's just an example of how massive the.
Because normally a gas station, like, they've got all the drinks. It's kind of like the main thing is drinks.
They had
all the drinks, and so it's like, what else could they have? You know, but they had like a whole. It was ridiculous, dude. I got a brisket sandwich, some candied pecans.
You got candied cashews. I got pecans, almonds. I got two shirts and a mug. And I ended up spending like $65. And Brent goes,
at a fucking gas station.
And Brent goes, yeah, it's pretty normal to spend about 45 minutes and spend $100 inside of a Bucky's. He goes, especially before a road trip. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. It was Bucky's, Texas City. We were in Bucky's, Texas City. We were about 55 minutes away from downtown from where we were staying.
Yeah, about 55 minutes we were in Bucky's, Texas City, man. Apparently, they're building the Bucky's here in Georgia, man.
Apparently
near Calhoun, they're going to build the Bucky's. And apparently, they also got some in Alabama. They got some in Dallas. They're expanding, man. I'm excited. Honestly, though, like, I wish that there was Bucky's in Georgia.
This is how I've tried to describe it, but...
I mean, you can just look it up.
You guys have to experience it. It's like all of your favorite thing from each gas station. So say you go to Quick Trip, and your favorite thing at Quick Trip is the fact that they, like, make some, like, fresh foods or whatever. And then, like, your favorite thing about Racetrack is they got, like, yogurt or whatever. And you're, like...
frozen yogurt machine. Frozen,
yeah. And your favorite thing about, like, a BP gas station is all of, like, the white label candies.
And your favorite thing about Valero... is nothing because Valero fucking sucks. I'm just kidding.
And your favorite thing about Shell is all the stuff they keep behind the counter. Gang, gang.
And your favorite thing about Texaco is the fake jewel pods.
And your favorite thing about Phillips 66 is all the knee-high peach soda.
And your favorite thing about Chevron is the Magnum-sized condoms. Anyways, fucking so, stupid.
But it's all in one place. It felt like a Cabela's and a Bass Pro Shop mixed with a gas station.
And a Walmart.
Mixed with a Walmart and a Kroger. It was fucking insane. They had carts. They had buggies. You could push a buggy. It wasn't just baskets. It was actual, like, buggies and carts and stroll. Like, it was fucking, what the fuck?
Was it pretty crowded?
Nah, not really. There was maybe,
kinda.
There was maybe 50, 60 people in there.
Dude, in the fucking brisket section, there was, like, six guys in there wearing cowboy hats, like, chopping meat. Like they probably had like 60 employees in that place.
I mean, that's potentially, yeah. They had a lot of people.
Probably people behind the scenes making food too. Like they had a whole section where you could buy like meat and
everything
shit.
Was beautifully, if anyone who's worked any kind of retail before.
So stocked.
Front faced, stocked, clean, precise, neat, like to the T. Like it reminded me of like an Apple store, how like nice,
it reminded
nicely
me of, like,
organized it
reminded
it was.
Me of those like fake places in North Korea where they try to make it look like so fully stocked and like that everyone's there all the time. Like yeah. They just had everything. It was great. And then I would say the icing on the cake of that trip was seeing our first Swangas.
Oh, God.
Swangas, everyone.
Swangas on a slab.
No, it wasn't really a slab, dude. That was a fucking 2014.
That wasn't
Buick.
A slab.
That was not a slab. What is slab? I can't remember what slab stands for.
Slab. So basically, every city got some kind of car culture, and in Houston, they build these.
They're called slabs. It stands for slow, loud, and banging. That's what a slab is. So it's like an old, like a Buick or a Cadillac. Some American big, like, boat kind of car.
Yeah. And they go really slow. They got
they
like.
They're lowered
they
as
got,
hell.
They got loud exhaust. They got banging stereos. And then they got these things
called swangas. And a swanga, if you can imagine like a wheelchair wheel, but imagine the front hub is like. A foot and a half.
I will make my circle. This is a wheelchair wheel. Now, describe. This is a
I don't know how I'm doing it. I'm just imagining.
I can just put a picture up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine a wheelchair wheel with the hub that's like a foot and a half out. So all the spokes are sticking out. Like, remember, like you've seen those like chariots with like knives sticking out.
Yes,
reminds me of that.
Like Ben-Hur.
It's literally like the wheels have a foot and a half extra clearance outside of the car.
It makes your car like 3 feet wider because it has these like spikes.
Ridiculous spikes
like,
sticking out.
Like imagine getting your shins broken off or cut off by someone driving too close to you. Like,
dude, imagine if you were a motorcycle rider trying to cut around a car and you just got your front end clipped, bro.
Are you trying to lane split?
You get swanged.
Yeah. And I don't really know how to segue into this, but for whatever reason, me and Richard...
We do weird voices sometimes. Andrew
when
does.
When we're together for long periods of time...
Especially on trips, we get weird.
We get silly. And you know us. We're silly.
Silly ghost. Silly ghost time.
And so at one point... I think it was because we were in the Airbnb and I fucked up the thing and I said like swangles or something like that.
Yeah, you said swangles. And you go, wow, I don't know how to talk. And I go, Richard, can you put some can we get some swangles on my wheelchair?
And then I had my hood up too. And I go, Richard, can I put some swangles? Can I please get some swangles? And we were just like joking.
Why was there swangles in my wheelchair?
Richard, I want to have a swab. I want a swab. I want some swangles on my swab.
Dude, but for real, you really should get swangles.
Dude, imagine swangles on a wheelchair, bro. It'd be so impractical.
We already have like a perimeter, like a radius of like people that don't fuck with us. Just it's an extended version of that.
People on my Instagram story, dude, that was, I got so many replies on my Instagram story this week.
Well, you were also freaking the fuck out. You were like,
I'll play the video right now. So I have a video of me freaking out about this freaking, here's the picture. It's like a 2014 Buick that like Shaq would drive in those stupid Buick commercials.
It's a Buick.
And then it's got literally like a foot and a half of these fucking spikes sticking out the side.
Yeah.
Here, I'll play the video. But when I saw it, I literally freaked out. Here's the video. Dude, are you kidding me? Look at this. Look at this. What is going on? Dude. that was the cut version, but anyways.
Because, no, we had seen...
some mini versions. And like, I was like, whoa, look at those
things.
Like,
they were maybe like small. Six inches out. And I was like, ah, that looks like maybe it's like the same kind of people that like rock curb feelers or whatever. Like,
yeah, because some people, they literally have these little like wires almost on their tires.
Well, it's meant to make, so
you don't scrape on the curb.
The curb feelers scrape before the wheels.
It would have been nice if I had some curb feelers in that Whole Foods parking lot.
Bruh.
I'll tell that story in a second. But yeah, so I was just freaking out because I could understand if it was on a slab, you know, these big crazy tires and the rest of the car being crazy. But the car in that video was just like
a regular
normal ass Buick, like a Buick Enclave like or whatever.
Like a Le Sabre or some shit.
Yeah. Like it was nothing special.
Rendezvous.
I think the Rendezvous is the SUV one. It's
Buick Aztec. Pontiac Aztec, Buick Rendezvous, same thing.
But anyways, it was ridiculous. And the other, what was the other story I was about to tell? Oh yeah, we were in Whole Foods because we were just trying to like kill time before we could check into our Airbnb. And
that's fucking sucked because, hey, we're in the middle of COVID. There's no place to like
hang out.
There's no Starbucks to like play on your computer like, or like chill in the AC or anything.
I'm not trying to go outside. Because it's 105 degrees outside
and,
in Houston.
And a lot of humidity, dude.
And, oh, is the air a swimming pool? Because I'm drenched.
Like, it's like breathing in thick, hot, like, soup.
Like, so you're humid, hot.
You're like breathing soup.
And it's like windy, but it feels like a hairdryer's blowing on
you. No, it feels like when you open up the oven, when you're like, it's preheated before you put the pizza in, and you get hit with the
wave. With a blast of warm air.
That's Houston.
That's how we felt, just walking around. Dude, remember like in between the parking deck and our Airbnb condo, like there was just that wind tunnel street?
Yeah.
It literally felt like I was just walking in a hairdryer.
Or like getting
a hand dryer.
A hand dryer, yeah.
Press button, receive bacon.
Yes.
But I don't remember where I was going with that. But oh yeah, we were in the Whole Foods parking lot, right? So we didn't have any place to chill. And we're like, maybe a Whole Foods will have like one of those little seating areas where you can get coffee or something. It was all it was all blocked off because they were using that area to do like pickups, orders.
Yeah.
So anyways, we was like, huh, fuck this, annoying, whatever. And I had parked right next to one of the, it was a parking deck, and they've got those like
it was underground.
Concrete columns that support the upper levels, obviously.
That's like 3 foot by three
and
foot.
And I was parked
big.
Next to one of those, and I was pulling out of the spot, and I was cranking the wheel, and I forgot that pole was right there. And all of a sudden. In a rental car.
Under my fucking shit.
And I'm driving, of course, because they don't have hand controls in rental cars. And I'm cranking the wheel, and then all of a sudden, just like, and I like slammed on the brakes too, because I saw it. Like, it was like I saw the pole, and then it, like, I slammed on the brakes, but also,
it
like,
hit.
We hit something.
Yeah, it hit.
And we were like, and I was like, oh my God.
But luckily, it was a hit with no crunch.
It was because I had cranked the wheel so hard that the tire was extended out further than the car. And so only the tire. Hit the concrete.
Hit the fucking wall.
So none of the paint even ever touched the pole. And I slammed on the brake. Like, we didn't hit it that hard, but it was a pretty lot. It was a pretty, like,
it
jolting.
It was. If it would have hit.
Because I slammed on the brakes and the thing hit at the same time.
It would have creased the fuck out of some body panels, for sure. Like, it would have put a big, huge vertical crease. I would have been paying a fat deductible on some. Enterprise insurance.
Right after we told him, no, we don't want the insurance.
The guy literally goes, "Do you want to get?" He goes, "Do you want to get the protection plan on it?" I was like, "Nah." He goes, "Nah, it's good, dude. Like, you can total it and just bring it back." And I was like, "Nah, I'm fine." Like,
honestly, it's like when you get that policy, it's only good if you commit to getting that policy every time you rent a car, because it's like the one time you don't do it and you need it, you're like fucked. But if you never do it, you're like, ah, I've had like 100 good ones. This was the time I fucked up, you know? But if you like sometimes do it and sometimes don't, you're like, fuck, this should have been the time I did it, you know? But anyways, if you want a good story like that, there's a video on VinWiki. We'll have to like link it in the show notes or something. I'll find it for you, AJ. But this dude, he like rented like a brand new Mustang back in the day, and he got the insurance package, and then he got it stuck in like he drove it like thousands of miles in the around the West, and then got stuck in like a dust storm, and the whole car, all the paint was fucked up. Like, the whole car was just disgusting. It was a soft top. The soft top was all ripped. Like, the car was totaled, and it was a brand new Mustang. It had like 50 miles on it or something, and he brought it back, and because he had the insurance policy, he didn't have to pay anything. Like, he just destroyed a brand new Mustang. It was ridiculous. But anyways, I'll link that. I'll link that video. It's worth the watch.
AJ's crying.
Yeah. But it was back in the day. But anyways, and then the next day we shot a video with our friend Brent, the other guy that's the host of the Cripple Couch podcast.
On our way back from Bucky's, when we saw the Swangas, and then we ate real quick, and then we went to go meet up with Brent.
Yeah. And Brent flies FPV drones. So if you've watched the go-kart video, you've seen what that looks like.
But he races them.
Yeah, so our friend Steel...
Steel doesn't race. Steel does freestyle.
Yeah, Steel does freestyle, but it's the same concept. You're putting on these goggles and flying these really high-speed drones. And Richard got to try the drones. Should we spoil it at all, or should we make him watch it? It's coming out in 2 weeks, so we'll wait. We won't spoil what happens, but... you'll definitely want to watch it because it's pretty funny. Richard, you did good until you didn't.
That's accurate. Let me put you this way. I flew it 4 times and then I didn't fly it anymore. Because it wouldn't fly anymore.
Here's another thing I'll tell you. We used the GoPro for 1 or 2 times and then we didn't use the GoPro for the last 2 times.
He goes, don't worry about it. I got a warranty on it. I was like, dropped out of the air 50 feet onto the what?
Hey, gotta watch the video. Anyways, that was super fun. We hung out with some interesting characters, that's for sure. Once we went to the racing area.
We went to this like night spot in an office park and no security and cops came for like 3 hours, dude. There was people like, they set up like...
We showed up at like 8:30 or 9.
They set up obstacles. One dude was getting high. Like, it was like the chillest fucking shit.
If you tried to do anything for like 30 minutes in an office park at night in Atlanta...
30 seconds, bro. 30 seconds.
They will come up on you and tell you got to get the fuck out.
Because they got building security and then property security. They got two different types of security that are always creeping and watching and like... There we were in Houston, just fucking zooming around. I feel like
the attitude in Houston is just like, as long as you don't break anything, have fun. Like there's that whole area near there where there was just like a landing strip for like people who just wanted to like fuck around with like model planes and shit. Mm. Like, you know, there's just like open air. Like, there's just so much room and so much space, they just let people do whatever
Houston
they want.
It's so big that you can do whatever you want without bothering anybody else. Like, it's just so massive that, like, you can just do whatever you want and you're not going to hurt anybody or mess up.
It's just so sprawling.
You're not going to fuck with anybody. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, it was nuts, man. It was nuts. But, I mean, yeah, it was a blast. We hung out with all the FPV guys. That was super fun. That video will be out in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, very, very, very cool. And then we woke up this morning and flew back and we... budgeted enough time. Oh, we got to tell the crazy story of what happened when we landed. Because we told the story about how I was watching David Blaine on the flight and all that stuff. But when
Are we just going to skip over the crackhead station? The crackhead gas station? Are we going to skip over the crackhead gas station?
Well, you were a little more traumatized than me about the crackhead gas station.
I wasn't traumatized, but I was the one outside the car pumping the gas, okay?
So last night.
So we're in downtown Houston.
That seems like 3 nights ago, and that was last night.
Last night. We're in downtown Houston in a part that's like, not so great. But whatever, it was the only gas station that was open, and it was like 1:30, basically, or like 1. It was late as shit.
It was late.
So anyway, we roll up, and as we're pulling up...
We're like a minute or two away from our Airbnb,
I see a single car with all the doors open and like 9 people hovering around this car. Across the street, there's these 2 people that are in a shouting match with each other, and then in front of the store, in front of the door, there's another huddle of people that are clearly like switching drugs for money. Like one of like...
Just like obviously doing a drug deal, actively.
Like, and some dude's like popping pills, and they're like, you know...
After we left, Richard goes, I saw someone go... Like, for the video, for the non-video people, I just mimed handing over $1 and popping a pill. It was like, thank you for this money. I will now do this drug.
In public.
Just in broad nightlight. Like, there was so much light. Yeah, like, it wasn't even that crazy of a sketchy area. We were like 2 seconds away from our Airbnb.
Listen, I've been through a lot of sketchy areas and a lot of sketchy gas stations and a lot of sketchy places at a lot of weird late times at night, and this caps it. This was like the top notch, and I literally...
Richard couldn't get over it. He's like, this was the sketchiest, most crackhead gas station I've ever seen.
The name of the game is Act Like You Belong. The second that you look scared, the second you look afraid, the second you start looking around at people, they go, oh, we gotta go fuck with this guy. So I was like already waiting for like how many people I was gonna have to tell to go away or like fuck off or like not be close to me or like, no, I'm not giving you money. Like,
also, we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, and it's like we're in a two white dudes in a car with California license plate. You know what I mean? Like, we're sticking out so much. And I'm like, all right, bet. So I get in there and I first thing I do is I check the credit card swiper to make sure there's no skimmer on it. Like, I like yank on it, twist it, and like inspect it. I'm like, all right, that's good. So I like put in my card, put in the zip code, like start pumping the gas. And I'm just like listening to what these two crackheads across the street are screaming about. And I'm like listening to the music that the car, that everyone's huddled around, and like what they're talking about. And I'm like trying not to look too suspicious and like look at the guys at the front doing the drug deal. And I'm like pumping the gas. I'm like, can this go any faster? Can we get the fuck out of here? Some dude rolls up on me and he's like, hey man, I'm not from around here. Like, can you tell me how to get the blah blah? And I go, man, I ain't from around here either. And I started to walk off and he's like, hey man, can I get a couple of dollars? And he gets like really close to me. I was like, I'm gonna need you to step away from me, dude. Like, you're too close. Like, you need to step away.
This was like, thankfully, this is right when you were wrapping up pumping the gas.
So I shut the door, and then a K-9 unit security guard.
Wasn't police. It wasn't said security.
It said SEAL security K-9 unit. And these guys, in their full-on, like, bulletproof, like, SWAT gear, like, walk inside the gas station, and the dude who, like, had popped the pill, like, looked at him and did one of these moves where he, like, he literally
I didn't notice that because I was focusing on driving away.
No, he literally looked at the cop. You know, it's like fuck you, like out my face, like this is my territory.
Chest
like,
pumped him.
He literally like took a step forward and like chest pumped him, and I was like, okay, we gotta go.
He just checked him, dude. He literally
was like, it's like, oh, this is my gas station, motherfucker. Like it was
oh my god.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this?
You were like, dude, I've been to a lot of crackhead gas stations. This is the most crackhead gas station I've ever been to.
This is the peak, and it's like 100 degrees, humid as fuck.
It's so hot, and it's like 1:30 in the morning.
But the thing is, we realized like when we were driving away this morning, we were really close to a bunch of like highway overpasses. And this is what I mean about like no one fucks with you in Houston. There was tent cities. It was like Skid Row Houston style. There was like full-on villages of tents.
We just never passed that area, I guess.
Yeah, it was just like before we left. Full-on fucking villages of tents everywhere.
So that was probably the closest gas station to that area.
Oh, this is that's what it is. And they're dude, like, they're drug addicts. Like, I've been one. I know people. Like, desperation is a thing that people do, and it's like they're probably just hanging around, like, hoping to bump into someone like us to get $2 so they can go to the dope man and get a little fix. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. None of my business. Don't give a shit. But it was like, it was so one of these things. I'm like, I'm going to have to work on my like anti don't fucking talk to me. Like, keep it quick. Keep it straight.
Dude,
keep moving.
You handled it, dude. You said, I'm going to need you to step away from me. And then he was like, can I get $2? And you're like, you said not available, and close the door.
Yeah. No, I'm unavailable. That was a different guy. I literally, so he was like, this is when we went to Ralph's.
Oh, wait. No. You're right. That was a different guy.
I'm like wheeling up to the trunk.
That was a different guy.
He goes, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you for blessing me today. And I go, that guy just got $5. Now he's going to come ask me for $5. So I load up the chair. He's like, hey, man, you need any help? And I was like, no, man, I got it. And so the wheelchair's in. The trunk is shutting. I'm walking to the front seat. He's like, are you sure you don't need me to help you with anything? I said, what are you going to do? Help me walk? And I just like, I like kept walking. I got in and he's like, hey man, can you bless me with $2 a day? I go, not available. Shut. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, you know what got me really good is when I worked valet on Peachtree Street downtown, because we were outside of a 4-star Michelin restaurant doing valet. We'd park like 10 cars a night. So they'd all come in at like 6 and they wouldn't leave till 10 or 11 because it's a huge multi-course, like $10,000 fucking dollar for a table of 6 goddamn fucking restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane. So, but we'd be just out on the street like fucking with the locals. And downtown Atlanta at like 6 o'clock when business shuts down, everyone leaves and all that's left is like the scourge. So, like
the scourge of the underbelly.
Well, whatever. So, like, I just learned how to like talk to street people then. Like that was like the shit. It's like, don't fucking talk to me, don't bug with me, leave it alone, like keep it short, keep it straight, like stay away. You know, like there's just certain like, I don't know, like street etiquette. It's like, don't feed the trolls. It's like, don't comment back. Like the quicker you can end the conversation and separate yourself, the better. Like you just gotta be, and you gotta be straightforward.
It's really good to have that kind of skill too,
you,
I think.
Yeah, you gotta be straightforward. You gotta be honest and no bullshit. Like the second you have an excuse, they will have a counter argument to your excuse.
They will. They're like, sorry, man, I don't have cash. And they're like, I got Square Cash. Or they're like, you got Venmo. Like literally
you gotta be straight front.
They got something.
You basically have to say, fuck off, go away, but in the nicest way.
What about that lady that asked us for the time?
I think she might have knew who we were.
It was a lady in the grocery store, and she was pushing a, like,
no, she was
in one of the little motorized mobility scooters, but the one provided by the grocery store.
So we had just shown up. We were hustling. We were trying to get groceries. We were trying to get back to our Airbnb, trying to eat, trying to get to pits. We were trying to, like, move, and she's just like, just beeline straight towards us and goes, got the time? But we were too busy like coming up with a grocery list in our head. And then she goes, got the time? And then Andrew like turns and looks. And
I go, 2:16.
2:16 or whatever. And we kept going. And it wasn't until we were like driving back, I was like, I wonder if that lady like knew us but didn't know how to stop and talk to us and just like made up the fact that like it's 2020. Who doesn't have the time?
Who's in a grocery store and doesn't have a phone? Like, if you're in the grocery store and you're actively buying groceries, you have a phone. Mm. Like, maybe it died.
Or you, like,
maybe you don't have a phone.
You just look up.
But even people who don't have a phone, they got a phone.
And we were in HEB, but it was like a nice one. It was like a Whole Foods HEB. It was like a weird, it was like a fancy
I've never been to an HEB, so I assumed that's how just they were.
No. That was a really nice one. It
was a good one.
Yeah, but it made me.
You know what HEB stands for?
No.
Here, everything's better.
I just puked a little bit.
LG, life's good. I wonder if it was like named that, and then they were like, we should make the acronym this later. Like, I feel like LG, because it's not an American company.
Yeah.
They probably like, they're like, what does LG stand for? They're like, oh, I don't know, life's good.
Liquid genitals.
Liquid genitals. What did we say something stood for recently that was so dumb?
I don't remember.
We said something
we're
about,
often really stupid.
Oh, I know. But it was something about like FPV. You're like, okay, for the viewers, what does FPV stand for?
No, it was either you or Brent was like, fart, pussy, vagina.
Yeah, and then you said you were like, fucking pretty vigorously or something like that.
FPV drone race.
So dumb,
bruh. Yeah, but it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, like because I was talking actually to Pitt and Brent about this, because they were talking about how like when Pitt goes in public and Brent is with him, especially if he goes in public at like a expo or like a basketball tournament, like people lose their shit. People fanboy like really fucking hard over Pitt. I mean, I kind of fanboy over him, but
dude, I could see how people would fanboy over him.
But we've never been in public. Like, we've never done a public event ever for any reason. So, like, I don't know if people would fanboy. Like, I have no idea. But it was just interesting because I forget that, like, if you're a disabled person, there's a good chance that you might know me. Like, we've bumped, like, frequently, like,
We've got a story in just a second, yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I was like, oh, man, maybe that was someone who, like, knew us but, like, didn't know how to. And then I was like, maybe I gotta just be like, no matter what, if they're disabled and they approach me for any reason, I just gotta be like extra nice to them because like maybe they're
nice to people in general. But yeah,
well, yeah, I know. But like, I'm doing things. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to like grocery shop. I got a list in my head. Like, don't ask me for.
Don't touch me. I'm famous.
No, not I'm that. Just kidding. Not that at all.
I'm just kidding.
But it was just very interesting because I'm like, hindsight 2020. I'm like, ah, maybe I should have like taken.
You're
a few.
You're irrelevant. Get out of my face. You're irrelevant.
Maybe I just should have taken a few minutes to like talk to her and say hi and like.
I don't know, but it was pretty obvious we're on a mission. I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know. It's very interesting. So,
but also, here's the thing: if she was in like a manual wheelchair,
different.
It would have been very different than her using the HEB scooter.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Just saying. Anyways, doesn't matter. Let's tell the story of when we landed.
So I'm pulling up this comment now. So when he was watching the David Blaine Ascension video or whatever, I finally had some time to
get to the comments
because often when we release on Saturday, I spend a couple of hours Saturday morning replying to like Instagram or Facebook or YouTube if I can, because it's the weekend. So I'll get to it Tuesday, Wednesday. I get to it.
And today's Wednesday and you still haven't had a chance. Really.
Yeah. So I finally got to it. And let me hold on. I'm in studio and let me pull it up real quick on the most recent video. It was the Exploring Atlanta video.
And we started at the Shepherd Center in the video, which is the place where you had inpatient rehab.
Yeah, and we were actually joking around about like, hey, I wonder if someone's inside, like, watching these videos right now. Like, wouldn't that be crazy?
They, like, look out the window, like, that fucking wheel's still walking, oh my God.
So I get this comment that's like, wow, we are watching this video while at Shepherd. My husband was injured almost 2 months ago, and we've been in and out of ICU and are ending our journey at Shepherd. We are going home this week. Would love to connect before we leave. And I replied, I was like, hey, that's wild. I'm so grateful you two found my channel. I'm currently not in town, but let me know if you ever come back through. Like, legitimately, like, let me know if you come back through. So we're getting up.
And I didn't know about that comment or anything. Like, yeah. He was just commenting, and I was watching fucking David Blaine fly in the balloon.
We're rolling off the tunnel that takes you to the plane. That thing.
What is that called?
The galley. The thoroughway. Whatever the fuck it's called.
Doesn't matter.
And I see the back of like a wheelie boy, and I'm like, hey, man, you're a wheelchair. It's a dude. I'm definitely going to say hi. And she lights up. Because she's facing me. She lights up.
The woman that was with
him. She lights up. She like taps him and points. Like, whoa, it's him. And I'm like, okay, these people know me. Like, these people know me. I was already going to say hi. I'm definitely going to say hi now. So I go, hey, man, what's up? I'm Richard. He goes, I know who you are. And I was like, what's your name? And he's like, blah, I forgot. I'm sorry if you're listening to this and I forgot your name. I'm so sorry. I'm literally an idiot. Okay. I'm so dumb. I can't remember names. And I started talking to him and chatting with him. I'm like, and he's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm a T, you know, 10. I was injured 2 months ago. You know, we're just leaving up at Shepherd. And I go, you were the one who left my comment. And I pointed at her. She goes, yeah. I go, that was you who left the comment. She goes, uh-huh. And I go, did you see my reply? She goes, no. And I go, I literally replied.
She goes, no, I don't like you. I'm just kidding.
I was like, before I flew back, I'm like, I literally replied to your comment. And he goes, yeah, man, I signed up for your email list, and I've been reading your story, man. It's really cool. And she's like, yeah, I've been watching all the videos. And we just started chatting back and forth. And I was like, hey, what size shirt are you? And he's like, oh, I'm a large. I had an extra temporary shirt, dude. I had an extra sand dune. And I was like, so I just got out the bag and I gave it to him and I gave him a couple of stickers and I gave, and then
while, we chatted for a long time.
And while we're chatting, another lady goes, hey, I'm sorry. I know I don't know you guys. I don't want to interrupt, but you guys are like paraplegic. Like, you guys are pretty like motivational, like inspirational or whatever. And he goes, this guy got a whole YouTube channel and like taught me a whole bunch of cool things. And like, he's like, I've been injured like 2 months. And I was like, I've been injured over 10 years. She's like, yeah, I have this, I'm a nurse. And I met this like Venezuelan kid who like had a spinal cord injury and
I adopted him.
And like, he was a quad, but he's now like a para. Like, he's got all his fine motor skills back again in his hands. And like, you know, do you have anything I can help? And I like pulled out some more stickers and some more cards. I'm like, yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, my website, whatever. And it was just like one of those, like, it was really a fucking special moment where I'm like, this is insane that someone who was like in Shepherd as we filmed the video, like starting at Shepherd, and we were literally like, I wonder if anyone's in there, like saw the video.
Knock, knock. Is anyone in there? Like, is anyone in there?
Like,
I wonder if anyone's in this giant hospital right now. I wonder if there's anyone in there. Anyone who's watching our video.
And then, yeah. And then they comment, and then I run, like, they were in the same. Where we
not
were,
only was it just in the airport, they were
our plane was going on to
as
Richmond.
As soon as we left the little runway, whatever the fuck, we can't remember the name of. They went down hours.
Like,
that's astonishing.
It was crazy. It was like two, and it felt really cool.
Our goal from the beginning was to get newly injured spinal cord injury. That was like the original goal. It's like, yo, when you're laid up in the hospital bed, you're in your inpatient rehab, we want you to be watching Wheels to Walking videos. Like, that's our main like demographic, is that's what you were. That's who you create the videos for, is literally newly injured male, you know, paras. And obviously our audience has grown even greater than that. Of course, it's not like we're like, oh, well, if you're not that, then fuck you guys. Obviously this podcast is for everyone. There's tons of all kinds of people that watch it. Mm-hmm. But like, that was from the beginning our like target demographic, because that's 10 years ago.
That's who I am. And it was fucking crazy. It was so funny. He's like, yeah, man, I started in the ICU and then I was like inpatient for only like 5 weeks. And I guess I was it kind of sucked because I was being punished for doing too good. And then
they were like kicking me out.
He's like, so I went to the, you know, I stayed in the apartments for a couple of weeks. And so I've only been injured 2 months, but like, I'm already ready to go home.
I'm transferring.
I'm doing transferring. Like, I figured out my bowel program and my cath in, and like, I'm always trying to kick her out of my way. I like to do stuff independently. And like,
in my head, he was friends with Pete.
And he was friends with Pete. And like in my head, I'm like halfway. I'm like, first of all, Shepherd's incredible. Like they're a phenomenal place. Like anyone who goes to Shepherd's going to get taken care of really well. But also there's a part of me that's like, I really hope the reason, one of the reasons you were doing so good was because like the videos also assisted and helped in that process. Because he had a great attitude, dude. He was super positive. He was super cheerful about it. You know, I asked about his kids. I asked about his work. Like I was, we just started talking like we were old friends. And that's what I thought was also cool about it. It's like, we've never met each other in our entire lives. The only connection we have is that his wife made a comment that I replied to.
Well, the other only connection you have is that you both have had this like crazy ass traumatic life experience that only paraplegics and, you know, spinal cord injury people can relate to.
There's literally like a special common bond. And it was so
it's
funny.
It's like a brotherhood.
He was like, it's kind of weird. He's like, it's so crazy, man. I was looking around because like, I've never done anything before. Technically, he's like, technically with this new body, I've never done anything before. I don't even know what it's like to go to a restaurant. I've never done anything before. And I'm like, that's exactly right. Like that's one of the huge reasons is like literally you're living your life. This horrible thing happens to you.
Now you got to figure out how to live again.
You got to relearn everything. Like everything. And you know, I think they were in a good mood. They were super happy. They were super positive.
They're going to see their kids. They hadn't seen their kids in a couple months because no COVID one can come to the hospital because of COVID.
She said she couldn't even leave. Like, it was like this whole thing. And it's crazy because, like, honestly, in the hospital, like, there's a lot of good times that happen, but also a lot of bad times. But the truth is, like, that hospital and the support system and your routine and your schedule is set up quite perfectly. And anytime you need any extra support or needing to have extra help, all the resources are available. So when you go home, that's honestly when like the real shit hits.
Totally.
But like I was stoked that he was 8 weeks out from his injury, out of the ICU, completed his rehab, you know, already transitioned into a little bit of that like apartment living, was like on his way home. I was like, dude, if you're where you're at now, if you keep this up for the next, you know, 10 months, if you can make it a full year, dude, you're fucking...
He wasn't even in, like, a permanent wheelchair. He's in, like, a loaner chair, like, you know...
He was like, hey, that's a slick-looking chair. Like, that looks really nice. Tell me about it. I was like, you need to watch my video about how to pick a chair.
Literally, it's like, just watch my whole channel. Like, literally, I was even like, have you watched the flying video? And he's like, no, I haven't watched the flying video, and we're flying. You know, like, literally, it's like, dude, just go through the whole catalog and watch them all.
I highly suspect, and this usually happens a lot with some of the older guys, is it's usually like the wife or the girlfriend that really gets into it. Like I bet when we're like, have you watched the flying video? He was like, no. I bet she was like, but I have.
Cause she's just sitting there while he's, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's totally true. And that was like such a cool experience. And we were like, literally like, dude, like it was just so nuts.
I was like email me, that. Text me, call me, hit me up, DM me, whatever.
Call
I was
me,
like,
beat me if you want to reach me.
Call me, beat me if you want to reach me.
Something,
day
that's
or
okay,
night,
or something.
Day or night. Kim Possible.
I never really watched Kim Possible.
Yeah, no, I wasn't into the Disney.
I just knew
the
Call Me, Beat Me. Anyways, doesn't call matter. Me,
do, 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 do.
Beep, beep, beep. Naked Mole Rat. So dumb.
Shut up, Ron. Yo, rule 34 on Kim Possible, though.
So this week, guys, my shoes.
Yes, great segue.
Dude, good segue.
That was a
That's
save.
Why we keep AJ around, even though he left my fucking house. We keep him around the podcast.
All right.
AJ, tell us about
tell
the
us
drip.
What you got. I mean, they look like trash.
They look like fucking
they
trash.
They look like fucking
so
garbage,
though,
dude.
That is the correct answer. They are trash. And by what I mean by that, guys, is that it is made out of recyclable material.
What is the name of this specific model of shoe that you are modeling for us?
You're an eco-hype beast.
But what is this specific model called, AJ?
This is called the This Is Trash, but there's multiple.
They're literally
like
called This Is Trash.
Well, that's the colorway, right? But they are called the Space Hippies, right?
Yes,
the Nike Hippies. Space Hippies.
So when I received it, and I just got these recently.
Shout out
to Austin, my brother. But the package comes in like this cardboard box and it looks like a shipping package.
Like a corrugated, like
and you flip it open, it says like Space Hippie and all this like cardboard everywhere. And it like, it was just a really cool experience.
Cause the whole thing is that it's recycled materials. Mm-hmm. Like literally the shoe is made out of recycled trash.
Yeah.
Is that, and the sole is the reason why it's not like one solid material. It's literally like,
if you look at it up close, we'll show you afterwards, but he'll take them off and show you or whatever. But take one off and throw them to him? Look at the soles. Like, they're actually really cool. They're pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of, have you seen those those parks that kids play at that have the tires.
Yeah.
Instead of mulch, they've got like the chewed up tires.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It just I like that color scheme because it just reminds me. Oh, of
it's like got
like
90s. Like a foam, it's almost like a styrofoam core. Dude, don't walk on mud or dirt ever. You're never gonna get
special
out of this.
Special occasions only. Yeah. So y'all getting a really.
You want to give it a sniff test?
Even this is like a little foam core.
Give it a good sniff.
Rate my smell.
Oh, there we go.
It smells like
AJ
Pitbull's blunts. Honestly, it smells like the grape swishers or the grape Phillies.
Kinda.
Oh wait, what?
It's like a mixture of like grape and also like foot.
Grapefruit. Fruit by the foot.
Fruit by the foot. Grapefruit by the foot. Dude, you know what else? Okay, I got an AJ story.
Gushers.
I've got an AJ story. Okay, so AJ, sad to say, has moved out of our house. It was a very sad day. Very emotional. And the day after, okay, so there was a thing of like mac and cheese in the fridge. And I was like, I want to eat that mac and cheese. I hope it's AJ's. Because if it's AJ's, I'm going to eat that shit. Because it was like mac and cheese that had already been made. It was just in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to text you. And I text you. I'll pull up the text. I go to text you. And I go, hey, bro, is this your mac and cheese or whatever? And I get this message that says, free message. Receiver, you know, whatever, your phone number, I won't give it out, is unable to receive message. Message blocking is active. Message blocking. And I'm like,
Did AJ fucking block
my number? I know he just moved out, but like
does he hate
we're
me?
We're still friends.
Right?
So then I try to call you. Boo-doo-doo. I'm sorry. Here, I'll call it right now. Here,
subscriber.
I'll do it.
Let's call
the number. Here we go. Oh, it's on Rodecaster. Here we go.
Dialed is not able to receive calls at this time.
And it kind of sounds like your voice. Do it again.
I'll call it again. It was a doo-doo-doo before,
it's like
I thought.
Distorted.
The person you have dialed is not able to receive calls at this time.
Yeah, you just said it like a custom one just for me, just because you're like, fuck Andrew. So I'm like, it was the day that you left.
Message 511.
And I'm like, did AJ leave and just fucking block my number? So I go downstairs and I go, Matthew, I'm like, I think AJ blocked my number, dude. He's like, what? I'm like, dude, call him. He's like, what am I supposed to call him about? And I'm like, dude, well, I wanted to eat the mac and cheese.
Oh, that's
so like, so I go, call AJ and ask him if you can eat the mac and cheese. And he's like, dude, I'm not going to do that. I'm not about to call our roommate that just left. And I just like said bye to him and stuff just to fucking ask him if I can eat his mac and cheese.
Hey, can I eat your mac and cheese?
So, and I'm like, the point of the phone call is to see if you're blocked, not to get the mac and cheese. Because I was like, I wonder if he blocked all of us. So then Peyton, my brother's girlfriend, is over and she's like, Matthew, just call him. He's like, no, I'm not going to call him. I'm like, just fucking call him. He's like, what do I say? I'm like, ask him about the mac and cheese. And he's like, I don't want to. That's fucking stupid. So it was like this whole thing.
I did not know this happened.
I know. I know. It's so funny. I wanted to wait to tell you in person because it was just too funny.
Sounds funny.
So then Matthew's like, fine, I'll fucking call him. So Matthew calls him and he goes, and like second ring, he's like, hey, AJ. And like me and Peyton are just like, he blocked me. Like it was like only, God damn it.
You're me. You're me this week.
And I don't have the Yeti lid. So it's fucking open. Anyways, doesn't matter. But anyways, it was just so funny because I literally thought AJ blocked me. And then I figured it out. It's because AJ... for a little while had like two phone numbers.
I had like a temporary
phone
number. He
out here trapping, dog.
Because he switched.
He got a burner, you know what I'm saying? Trapping.
Yeah, he
I got two phones. One for the airsoft and one for the
lope. One for the airsoft and one for the podcast.
One for the airsoft and one for the house.
One for the kicks and one for the
mouse.
Fucking mouse.
Yeah.
One for the Rainbow Six Siege and one for the Fortnite.
I don't get tired.
One for the Oculus and one for the Siege.
24 hours.
One for the weekend and one for the Scott.
7 days a week.
Anyways.
I don't get tired.
God damn it. Anyways.
I'll let you
It's all been sleep. Cleared up. I was calling the number that didn't work anymore.
What a great episode, guys.
Dude, this has been one of the best episodes. We had so
I've
much
had a smile on my face this entire episode.
I still have like 9 topics for next week that we didn't even get to. Like,
good.
I have so many things that I keep wanting to talk about. But guess what? That's why you're tuning in next week for episode 46.
On the Wheels to Walking podcast.
With a guy in a wheelchair and a guy not in a wheelchair. You know, it's actually really funny. We were on the Cripple Couch podcast.
Yeah, and we did the thing.
And we did the... You're listening to the podcast.
No, because Brent was like...
I was the only able-bodied motherfucker
there. Brent was like, oh, so you guys are like... But you guys are like super, like way more professional than we are. And like you guys like do like the hosting stuff. And you go, that... They were trying to shout us out. They're like, be sure to follow everybody. Like, what's the name of your guys' podcast again? And you go, the Wheels to Walking podcast. The podcast, the guy in a wheelchair and a guy not in a wheelchair. And I go, what up? And they both go, ooh. It was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
No, we're not professional. We're just really nerdy about equipment.
Dude, I did see a comment.
Pitbull was talking so much shit. He's like, welcome to Cripple Couch episode. I don't even know what episode this is anymore. And Pitbull was like, Zach was like, tell him why, Brent. Tell him why you don't know what episode it is.
Because like, they did a whole podcast and they forgot to record.
Or like something, the audio went bad or.
Yeah, but shout out this comment, dude. This comment was on a clips on our clips channel, and it said, "Damn, I've never seen a smaller podcast YouTube channel with such a professional setup." Lol. I mean that in a complimentary way. Thank you, Toasty Potato.
Yeah, dude, that was a really good. Yeah.
But that's been our like scam since the beginning. You know what I mean? Like when we had 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we were putting
all
out,
the comments were like, "How does this channel not have 1 million subscribers?" It's like, what the fuck?
All you gotta do is just trick people by putting out really nice stuff, and they're like, "Oh, these guys are really popular professionals."
Well, you gotta be talented enough to make professionals.
I mean, I say scam like a joke, and but it's not really a scam. But like,
and that's where me and AJ come in because we know how to do that.
It's true. Professionalism, because otherwise I'd be like still having my G7X on a GorillaPod trying to figure out how to like hot glue gun it to my wheelchair so I could vlog.
Accurate. But that's the show, I think. We did it.
Dude, that was dope.
That was super fun. Thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure to follow us on places and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Subscribe on Patreon for the bloopers.
Yes.